That was me trying to scream. Hi. You sound like a retarded monkey.
1 minute in, you say
it was like a howler monkey.
I thought I was good. I got a mean Joker smile. Have you ever noticed I got a mean Joker smile? Look. Welcome to Burnt Out Coffee, the very sophisticated, calm podcast where we're two sane dudes talking about Halloween-related Welcome to Burnt Out Coffee, where we're two sane dudes talking about two Halloween properties. I restarted that whole shit. Two Halloween properties for all the month of October. Who am I talking to with? Well, why don't we introduce him? That's where you come in and you say who you are.
Hi, I'm Oscar Fernandez and Oscar Fox.
The hell is that voice? You sounded like a tow trucker in the deep south. Oh, let me tell you, Earl. Let me tell you down there. No, I got it.
And this is my co-host, Enrique Rosado at Ryder Rosado.
I got it. Hi, my name is Rick Rosado. I am Ryder Rosado down here on Instagram and on Twitter. Thank you for joining us.
Real quick, speaking of like hillbillies, I recently watched House of a Thousand Corpses.
Hey, Halloween property.
I did not like it at all.
I thought you were going to go, what was that? Bill and... say Bill and Ted. It's not Bill and Ted. Go Against the Forces of Evil, the one that mocked horrors.
Oh, Tucker and Dale.
Tucker and Dale versus the Forces of Evil. I thought that's where you're gonna go.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That's how you do hillbillies right. Yeah, House of a Thousand Corpses is like, I don't like the hillbilly murderers. Like I have a weird attraction to Baby, but I'm gonna have to go to a therapist for that. But I want you to watch it because the cinematography is, the way he cuts in weird shit. It doesn't work for me. And I thought I would like it because I watched Rob Zombie's Halloween films and I liked those. But I kind of went back to go revisit some of the stuff I've never seen before. And I didn't care for it.
I could see why you were attracted to her. Wait. Oh, he's in that movie? The dude from The Office?
Yeah, Dwight's in there.
Yeah, oh my god, Dwight's in there.
He's one of the main characters.
Oh, shit. But you know what that means, Oscar?
Yeah.
That's not the movie we're talking about.
What does that mean? That's not the movie we're talking about whatsoever. Tell them what the movie we're talking about.
Oscar, you know what we're talking about. You said it last Tuesday as your favorite horror franchise.
And I just want to say, they just announced part 4 is coming out.
Wait, what do you mean? Wait. Part 4 as in... not a sequel to the remake, but a sequel to Army of Darkness?
You bet your beautiful face!
I feel kind of bad for the remake of Evil Dead, then. I mean, because I'm like, what happened to them?
I don't feel bad, just because, like... Evil Dead got its reboot, and it was basically Sam Raimi being like, hey... I finally have the money to do it the way I want to do it. It's not going to be comedic. I want to do the horror film I want to do.
Because isn't Evil Dead 2?
But then after that, we had all the other properties. Comics, web series.
Full-blown series.
The actual show, Ash versus Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. That went on for 3 seasons. So, they continued, Bruce Campbell's Ash's story. So, his Evil Dead reboot was just basically a one-off. In the way I view it, anyway.
Because I just...
just like how he originally wanted to do it.
I would love to see an Army of Darkness that was actually meant to be more horror.
I don't know, man. I just love Army of Darkness the way it is. It's so Looney Tunes.
It's super...
part of its identity.
Yeah.
You know? Just like having a true horror, it would just be like a medieval zombie film. And I'm down for that. I would watch something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But being part of that franchise, it kind of has to be a little zany. So I don't know where they're going to go with this, but I know Raimi's part of it. I don't think Raimi's the director.
He's probably just
producing. I think he's I'm definitely sure he's producing and cashing a check. But I forgot because Bruce Campbell announced who the director was. And Bruce Campbell's going to be a part of it, of course, my man.
Really? But Oscar.
And, yeah, so.
What? But what?
This is recent. This is literally like I read this yesterday.
Really? Then I was going to say is.
Yeah.
But what are we. What are we. What are we watching today? I mean.
Oh, today, baby. We're doing the OG, the originator of them all. We're doing Sam Raimi's Evil Dead.
Evil Dead. Oh, by the way, it's Lee Corin. That's what I was looking up. Cornyn? No, Cornyn has confirmed the story on Twitter. Yep. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Now you know who it is. But we're talking about Evil Dead, Oscar. Your favorite horror franchise. You still there
for I me? Love it.
Oh, okay. Oh, by the way,
it's so freaking good.
Yeah, if you ever hear us talking over each other, just to let y'all know, we're experiencing a bit of lag on our end, so there are going to be moments where I can't hear Oscar and he just can't hear me. So, like, if we're doing it, we're not trying to cut each other off. But fucking Oscar, if you cut me off just once, if you just cut me off once.
I don't do it again.
I think you cut me off. I don't know. I can't tell. The lag was strong. Evil Dead! So, Oscar, you know how we do this. We talk about the story, the synopsis. We talk about how did the characters work? How was the cinematography? How were the effects? And then our overall thoughts on the piece of movie we saw. Now, the question is, Oscar, I think I'm going to go into the story because this is the thing that we have to acknowledge. One of us, you, and this ain't a bad thing, you have a semi-bias to the film because it is part of your favorite franchise. I do believe it is not going to destroy your critical eye. Yeah, I heard it. I was like, bonk, that's when I went, what? I know it's not going to ruin your critical eye, but at the same time, your bias may seep out just because of it. So I think I'll tackle the story first and go into it, and then you jump in, talk about everything you feel into. But let's get into it. So, The Evil Dead follows the adventure of Ashley and a group of four other characters whose names I don't remember because I don't think that was the purpose of the film.
There's okay. Sherry, there's Scott, there's Linda.
That's three.
Linda's the girlfriend, Sherry's the sister, Scott's the asshole, and then there's Scott's girlfriend.
And then the other one. Wait, no, you said that. Sherry's sister, Scott's girlfriend, Scott.
No. Sherry's the sister, Linda's the girlfriend, Scott, and then I can't remember Scott's
She's the first one. Also, girlfriend. She's not the first one. Sherry's sister, Linda, is the first one to get turned, right?
Sherry's the sister, Linda's the girlfriend. I can't remember Scott's girlfriend.
We're gonna do something a little different, Oscar. Kind of like how you did it now.
Okay.
I'm gonna go through the plot. Your job is not to like. Your job is going to be to fill in the holes. Don't try to continue it because we're trying to give him as bare bones as we can. We're just not even trying to give him just a full synopsis. But you correct me where I'm wrong because I feel like I might have missed some things even just watching it. So. Going into The Evil Dead is about them renting out a cabin just to have some fun by themselves. Just, like, enjoy a little vacation. And it's a cabin in the mountains.
Yeah, a little weekend thing.
Yeah. Like, it's a cabin in the mountains. And it's very... kind of like they shoot the signs that this is going to kill you really soon. But, you know, whatever. But going into the story... So, basically, they go into the cabin. They find the cabin. They... unknowingly listen to it. Wait, they listen to the tape, unknowingly releasing the curse of the Necronomicon, right? I know it has a different name. Oh, it's Necronomicon.
Yes, sir.
Necronomicon, got it. Which brings out the Deadites, which is like a curse that affects people that turns them into zombies, but they're not zombies really. They're more.
No, what it does is it summons demons and it gives. It grants them license to possess the living.
That's what it felt like more. Okay, that's right. Because I was like, I wouldn't even categorize them as zombies. I would just categorize them as possessions.
Yeah, they're just possessed people, yeah, basically.
And then they go on a murder spree within it, but it's isolated to the 4 or 5 people we said. And it ends with Ash really being the only survivor, breaking, like, just really... The reason I'm kind of, like, zooming past the plot is because I'm going to say, in my opinion, I feel like there wasn't a lot. There was lore.
There wasn't.
Lore, but there wasn't plot. And even, like, my ideas with the story is there's not that much to criticize because there is not that much. The plot is, in horror, this is the thing. With horror, it's actually really, really good at pointing out, what's it called? They have, a lot of horror has a lot of strong themes. Like, people like to, like, sleep on them for the thematic purposes and what they're trying to say or mean. But horror actually, in genre-wise, represents a lot of stuff. Like, for example, The Purge is a talk about the rich and the poor and the differences in class. And how The Purge was just an excuse for the rich to kill the poor. They try to paint it as a thing that benefits all. But in reality, it was only benefiting them, which is an allegory for how things work now. I'm trying to remember... I know. Would you consider Hannibal Lecter, like, the Silence of the Lambs horror?
Yeah, for sure. It's just terrifying.
Because that's another thing. With me, horror is the reason I genuinely mean this, I love it as a genre, because horror in itself is so powerful of a genre that you could stack it on top of other things, but it will still be labeled as horror. Like, you can look at look at Evil Dead. It has fantasy elements. It has these supernatural magic. But its main billing is, this is a horror film. Night of the Living Dead, horror film. But then you get, like, realistic, it's like twists of history, but The Purge, Hannibal Lecter, which is like a real, like, Silence of the Lambs, which is a realistic situation. But horror is such a powerful thing that it's allowed to grab elements from other movies, from other genres and everything, and really infuse it to get you scared while still delivering a message. And the thing with Evil Dead is, I feel like there wasn't a message, because the whole point of it was, this is to entertain you. This is to give you some spooks and go through it. So story-wise, I say points to the lore, but for the actual story... It's summed up as, they were there at the wrong place at the wrong time, and fuck, there's no special reason anyone's better than anything. That's actually what I wanted to ask you, Oscar. Did I miss it? Like, did I, like, blink and just not pay attention for a hot minute? I'm not even joking. Why was Ash okay from being randomly not chosen as a possession? In the context of Evil Dead.
You didn't miss anything.
In the context of just Evil Dead 1.
You didn't miss anything. It just didn't happen.
Yeah, why?
Whatever you want to call it, the spirit or whatever, that, yeah, you know, like, when you, like, the camera go...
Yeah, that, like, yeah, you know, that.
Yeah, yeah, it's like Sam Raimi's crazy angles and things like that.
It's literally Sam Raimi himself going...
Like the...
Jordan
watched it with me, and she was like, "All right, Sam. All right, I want you this. All right, listen, I want you to do this." I was like, "No, he's not telling anybody. That's him
exactly.
doing it.
He's just running. He's like, he's like in his head. He's like, I'm gonna make Spider-Man great again."
Hey, Spider-Man 2 is one of the best movies of all time.
100% agree. But then you see Evil Dead and go, "We all make mistakes."
I'm telling you. Doctor Strange 2 is going to be amazing. Anyway, so this is college Sam Raimi, okay? This is like him, like, he did a short film and he wanted to make a motion.
I believe in you.
It's hard. Link picture. There we go. He can get length out. Picture of this short film. So basically, like, it's just searching out, like, you see it looking through the windows, okay, there's two people there. I'm not going to go for them. I'm going to go for someone singled out. So you realize it was only going for when there was one person. And Ash was always with somebody. Yeah,
but then when Ash was alone. What about that?
They were still trying to get him. He just didn't leave the cabin.
And he couldn't go in?
Sheriff's cabin got possessed. Scott left the cabin and got possessed. Ash didn't leave the cabin.
Oh, that explains the ending more then. That explains the ending more. Spoilers for Evil Dead. I forgot to say that in the beginning. Because at the ending, if I'm correct, he's supposed to be possessed.
It, like, gets him at the end, basically.
I hated that.
Like, it's daytime, he thinks it's safe, and the thing goes, and he just goes right up to his face and gets him.
He burned the book and everything. I was like, I kind of hated that ending. I'm like, I get why Evil Dead 2 kind of exists.
I got you, and I agree completely. Evil Dead 2 is one, but good. And
Oscar was just to hide the overall feeling.
The thing is, like, he birthed the book, but the book isn't
the evil.
The demons, it's not the power. It is the key to release the demons.
Okay.
It just because you burn it doesn't mean they're going back. They're already out.
So I'm going to be jumping around a bit in our format in the sense of talking about, like, the special effects.
Obviously, we just talked about the ending.
Well, that's still going with plot and out and synopsis of the story and how I felt about it. I'm going to be jumping around because this...
Yeah.
Because, like I said, there's not much story to talk about. I want to talk about the acting and the special effects, but before I jump into that, I just wanted to say one thing. Bruce Campbell looks the least Bruce Campbell I have ever seen him in any property. For a minute, in the beginning, I didn't look that hard. I went, does he have a bow cut? His bangs were out strong.
He did have a bowl cut. It wasn't until he started sweating and he had to, like, put his hair back, where it started looking like the Bruce Campbell we all know and love.
Yeah, and I was like, they made this... I was like...
And he had that mean-ass Oscar unibrow.
I was like, Bruce Campbell, did Sam Raimi went, I want you to be a sex symbol? No. I want women to hate men after you. And I want every man's penis to go back inside their bodies when they look at you. I don't know why I gave him an FDR voice, but that's who he is, Sam Raimi.
Even with the unibrow, he still has a jaw that kills, man. Oh, chin is...
If I had a chin like him, I would never have a beard. I would never have... I would be like, no, I don't need a beard.
I'm telling you, the only reason I have this beard or this little Tutankhamun shit is because I have no chin.
This is a beard. And same here. I have to... This gives the illusion of, he has a strong jawline. But the reason I wanted to jump into the special effects is because I feel like with horror especially, because horror has a reputation in film. And I think you already know it. Especially, and let me rephrase that, has a reputation in indie film. It is known to be the easiest and quickest way to get into Hollywood because it is a style that can be shot in some of the smallest budgets out there because creativity will ooze through and it will show how well you can do it out on a shoestring budget. And horror is known for having so many indie films, so many stuffs, because if you know what you're doing and know how to make films, it's going to show and it's going to be really well.
Because you're focusing on the emotion mm-hmm. of what's going on. You can do it in a whole horror film in just a single mm-hmm. room. But as long as you're expressing and striking at the audience's emotions in some way, whether it's shock value or gore and things like that, I agree with
and
you. Yeah.
That's why I'm bringing up the special effects. The reason I want to bring up the special effects specifically is because when you do horror and you decide to take it the supernatural route, there is a razor thin line, but each side has so much room to play with, but you can accidentally cross the line so many times without even noticing between being, this is severely like really good horror. Example, Alien, another sci-fi outer space movie, but it's categorized as horror because what it is, even though it's massively sci-fi, because they do what the Jaws thing does, and it's my favorite thing in horror, personally, where you hide the monster and how they look, because our imagination will always craft something scarier than whatever is going to appear on the screen. You give us just...
Yeah, because go ahead. We're placing something that exactly. we're afraid of.
You give us just little pieces of information. We're going to connect the dots with our fears. You tell me an alien...
Your brother's calling me. I guess he wants to play Ghost.
Luis? He can wait.
Yeah.
He can wait. But like, no, like, horror can be filled in that way. And I say that because if you show the monster too much, especially if that's the thing you're afraid of, you have so many chances of killing the spook, killing the fear, because we're going to look at it long enough and start poking holes in the reality of it. Even though we're supposed to suspend disbelief, we as humans will, when we don't know, we'll apply information. But once we see it, we're going to instantly continue to apply information and start noticing what doesn't fit and start disbelieving it. And that's why when he did all his special effects and he started showing the deadites more and more, the first scene we see, what's her name? Lydia? Linda? Churn? Like the first woman?
Sherry.
Sherry. The first time she turns, she went from being creepy and scary to like even Eri kind of felt uncomfortable looking at her to so fucking comical when he is beating her. When Arnold, Aaron, what's his name? Alex? You can tell I care about these characters.
Arnold, Alex, Scott. You know, Scott?
When he was beating her with the axe, I had so many times to look at that fake ass witch head that just went burr, burr. And I was like, oh, I can see what Oscar told me all those years ago, because you kept telling me the thing about Evil Dead is that it became too comical for its own nature because of how it was. There were moments of special effects that, no offense, I thought were so smart, which was like the ending when the book came out, like the kind of claymation effect. I was like, those actually kind of look really cool. And an example of one I feel personally that did really shitty and really good was the decapitation scene of where he's burying his girlfriend. And like, you see the moment of the head in the ground still moving. You see how he shot it, that the legs and arms are still moving. But then you get a close up of the neck and it's just like squirt, squirt. And I'm like, oh, it's all fake. This looks so bad. Like, do you have moments of that?
And one thing we have to remember is like, the quality of video we have now, mm-hmm. you know, this high definition that we're yeah. accustomed to now, we see all these flaws yeah. now. But back in the 80s, shit was grainy and blurry as fuck. So I'm sure it looked really good in comparison. I agree
with that. Like, because that's the sad thing about horror nowadays in the sense of old school. We can notice the fakes. But the thing is, I would still feel personally, I, as a young kid, because when I, for example, I was talking about it, the reason that scared me, the big spider scene, is because I saw for a split second. But when I was older and I watched it again and I saw it all, the fear disappeared for me. Because I was like, I can see it. I can see it for what it is. It's not terrifying to me because I can see it all. And that's one thing I think was a brave choice for me. Which was the kind of showing us everything. We saw it all. Like, what do you feel? Like, with, I guess one question I want to ask you, because I say this, like, I keep repeating this not to go, like, this is your favorite, but to go, like, no, I know you like this, but I want your general opinion because you are more knowledgeable about this. How do you feel, ignoring all the sequential, like, movies that came after it, as a movie as a whole, do you feel this would have, you would have still loved this if it wasn't for the others?
Mm-hmm. No. It's it, at first it the gore is shock value, but then it's gory for just gory's mm-hmm. sake. And so like it's kind of over the top. And I know we don't talk about the sequels, but the sequels make it comedic. Mm-hmm. And this one is just a little overwhelming. It's like, okay, we're there now. If it was just like less is more, like you were saying, like show the monster less, let our imagination still get. Same thing with the blood yeah. and the gore. Like it's cool, you get a spurt here and there, but if it's just constant, 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 it becomes the norm and it no longer has the emotional value that it had in the beginning. A lot of horror movies, you know, falter because of this, because they're like, oh, we need to make it as gory as hell, it's going to really creep the audience out. But if that's all we get, then that's all we expect. The special effects, I understand for the time. The claymation was agreed, super cool. I forgot the claymation was there until the recent, like, watching of it. Mm-hmm. When she gets stabbed in the heel, and it's like going, that looks really good.
I was legitimately like, but how did they do that one? That looks really well done.
Yeah, so like a lot of those were really good. It's like when they were fully transformed, where you can see like the latex around the mouth or the wrist, it ends there and it's like normal hand the rest of the way. Like you can really tell there and it looks kind of really wonky. But it is literally a product of its time. And Evil Dead 2 is literally the first one with a budget, because when you watch them together, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It's literally Evil Dead 2 is a reboot of Evil Dead 1.
Yeah.
You don't go to the cabin twice with the same girlfriend, you know, that like, died in the first film.
I'm going to do it all over again. I think I could do it. I think I could risk it. Ash is that brave.
Now, speaking of special effects, things like that, and the props, things like that, the Necronomicon in the first movie looks like trash.
Oh, yeah, it was a tiny little...
it was like this big. It was like a little pocket Bible. And like the face on there, like I had to like squint. Like
I had to really... It wasn't until the claymation happened that I saw the face. I went, oh...
Yeah, and then like the sequels, they like you could tell. It's like, you know, it's like it's supposed to be a skinned face for the cover of the book. It looked really good. The inside was fine. I was cool with the inside.
I feel like drawings, you could have used more words. It looked more like a book of drawings, less than a book of like ancient text, if that makes sense.
Yeah, agree. There's some pages that were like really good, and some were just like just the Necronomicon's face and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, looked like it was doing ballpoint pen, But besides that, I thought that was pretty good. The one thing that kills me to this day, more than the special effects, more than the weird latex that doesn't cover all the way, the thing that kills me to this day is the necklace prop that he gave his girlfriend. Why, like, she was so impressed by this little magnifying glass. I'm like, to show your love for your girlfriend, you bought her at K Jewelers this bedazzled magnifying glass. Like,
oh, Ash, it looks so beautiful. I'll never take it off.
It's a magnifying glass. What the fuck are you talking about?
Like, I thought I missed something. Like, did this bitch say she likes Nancy Drew or something? Why is this like secretly like, and Ash was like, yeah, I pay attention. I feel like Ash is secretly the shitty boyfriend in this movie. I
feel like it's the only piece of jewelry Sam Raimi could afford, but...
He walked in. I got $10. We got them.
I've got literally a magnifying glass with like a little piece of cubic zirconium or something. Whatever. It wasn't cubic zirconium. It was like completely almost see through.
They're like, you could use it to see how little money you have. Quickly, go look at it.
Yeah. It like that part kills me. I'm like, what the hell is that? It's not a ring. It's not like a diamond necklace. You can make like a shitty rhinestone necklace. It's literally a tiny magnifying glass. I'm like, what?
I didn't get the symbol. Okay, I thought I was just confused. Oh, God.
That part kills me every time. Even in the second one. Because the second one, they still use that same stupid magnifying glass.
She loves Nancy Drew. That's the connection. Evil Dead is Evil Dead Part
4. Loves Nancy Drew.
Evil Dead Part 4 is going to cross over with Nancy Drew. Nancy Drew is going to find the I'm going to say it because I am a good speaker. Necronomicon. Necronomicon. The Necronomicon. Nancy Drew, this joke is dead, but goddamn it.
The dead.
I'm going to use the Necronomicon to bring this joke back. Nancy Drew's going to come back, read the Necronomicon, figure out how to solve it with the help of Ash. Done. Not even worth the joke, but I believe it was. I actually did want to bring up something about you were speaking on that I feel like the scene really captures it. the fact that you made the point of, like, this movie started actually trying to be really horror, but it, in the following sequels, they went with a more comedic approach because of the first movie, how it was received. And the reason I kind of, like, love that is because the scene I feel like captures it is actually the scene where they burned the book. So the claymation was cool, but then I assume those were the demon's arms pop out of each body, which I was like, okay.
Yes.
Then the bodies fell on the floor, started rotting, and cockroaches and insects started crawling all over them. And I was...
And grits. Yeah,
I was just like, why did he go that far? It was like the sentiment you were saying of how he felt like he needed to keep just going higher and higher. And that's where horror stopped. When you're just trying to just up the factor of shocking, gross, oh, this is so scary. It's like you're constantly losing what makes scary scary. Scary is suspense. Scary is getting... you're trying to scare an audience. It's... horror is also, in my opinion, I said it was like the entry point for a lot of them. Ironically, I think it's one of the hardest ones to kind of like master, because where in comedy is naturally subjective, so is horror. But there are some base fears we all share. But the problem is, if you can have a theater, half the theater laughing, half the theater not at a comedy, and it will be considered a success because there's no laughter. But if the majority of the people are not afraid in a horror film, and this is just my opinion, you're not succeeding, because all it takes one person to point out why it's not scary, and the entire thing is destroyed. The illusion of scare is destroyed. Whereas in comedy, you can point out why a joke isn't funny, and people are going to be like, no, it's still funny to me. Whereas horror, if you went, for example, it just kept going over the top, you're going to notice throughout the whole movie, he's right, this is no longer scary, and the entire illusion of what you're building is destroyed. That being said, I feel like that happened to me with the scene I told you about from There was a perfect encapsulation, but in the beginning of staying too long on Shelley, that I was just like, this is trying to get me there, but it tried to keep upping the ante every 10 seconds instead of just letting me live in the fear of it. Though I will say, I had one question, and this is going to sound out of left field, but I was confused. Did those trees try to like assault that girl? Like, what were those trees trying to do? I didn't think they were trying to kill her.
I'm just saying that tree stood. Yeah,
that's what I was like, did Sam Raimi make a raping tree? The man who gave...
He did make a raping tree.
Spider-Man 2, one of the greatest films of all time, who gave me Tobey Maguire, who gave me Dancing Venom Spider-Man, made a raping tree.
Got to start somewhere. And before he raped our wallets in Spider-Man 2, he raped Sherry with a tree. What the
fuck? No! Okay, I want to say, to get us off that, like, quick segue away from that, let's turn our run away from that. I had one thing that I was...
I want to bring something up, though.
Oh, okay, yeah, go ahead. Go 100% ahead.
I did notice something, like, with a more critical eye, because usually I just sit down and enjoy these films, but I sat down with a more critical eye this time, and I could tell Sam Raimi was getting more comfortable with how he wanted to tell the story as far as the cinematography, like how he like did the panning and the angles and stuff like that. Because he did very awkward stuff in the beginning that just felt off, but as the movie progressed, it felt better. Like, he felt like he was more comfortable, the sort of transitions he was doing and all this stuff, like, it just felt like eerie, and it felt like it went together. And towards the third act of the film, there was a lot of moments where I really liked, like, one of them, for example, was towards the end of the film, where what's the name's in the basement, Scott just got knocked down, and Linda's just laughing, and Ash is dragging her. And we're in the perspective, like, on the ground of Linda, like, being dragged on the ground, plopping over Scott's body and going across the living room. We're just following him dragging the body. And, like, little angles like that, I could really tell he was finally getting the hang of it. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it was just like the whole movie was a big process of really him just trying to develop himself. Mm-hmm. And so like as the movie went on, I'm like, okay, middle to third act, this right here, he knows what he's doing. He knows, he feels comfortable. Beginning to middle of second act just feels fucking awkward. Yeah.
I agree with that 100%. And like realizing that, that's a really good point to like bring up, because like it kind of shows like, it kind of like weirdly enough gives more justification of why he made Evil Dead 2 and kind of needed to. As in, now that I understand and more comfortable as a filmmaker of my own voice, of what he wanted to portray and show, it allowed him to make a better film. And I like that. I will say one thing that I felt was a disappointment, and this one is 100% the sequel's fault. I legitimately was sad he did not chop off his hand. I was 100% waiting for that, for the chainsaw scene.
And that's the thing. He likes the H.P. Lovecraft sort of like the madness mm-hmm. thing going on. You know, the going insane from the horrors that you see and things like that. And Evil Dead 2, although it's more comedic, it handles the madness a lot better. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the more hallucinations, the deer laughing, yeah. and the lamps moving, and things like that. And Ash just going insane.
That scene, I was like, was that the first one or the second one?
Yeah, Ash just literally going insane because his brain cannot handle the horrors going around him. Is handled much better in the second one than it is in this one. And this one, he's just more of like, it's more realistic. You know, he's just like in the background, like in shock. Like, he literally freezes up. He doesn't know what to do.
That happened a lot. And I get it. It kind of made sense, but I feel like it took away from the moment. But with that, Oscar, I think we're going to hit our overall feelings. And I'll let you go, definitely. How do you feel, Evil Dead? Does it hold up?
Like, I will always rewatch it because I am a fan of Sam Raimi. I'm a fan of the Evil Dead franchise and all that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, all Hail the King, baby. But if it's something I recommend, I always tell people, skip one, watch two. Mm-hmm. Watch two, watch Army of Darkness, then go watch the TV series, all that stuff. All that's great. Evil Dead 1 is just the test run. And so you couldn't get the other stuff without this one. So there's the appreciation in there. Mm-hmm. But as far as that goes, I mean, like, I'll always watch it just to revisit it, just to see the evolution of the films. Mm-hmm. But it's no longer necessary to enjoy the franchise.
I couldn't agree more. I legitimately am like, even I would rather people watch the remake of The Evil Dead than this Evil Dead 1. Just because I'm like, you get closer to what Sam Raimi wanted to do. Which is, they're both very horror driven, but because, I don't even say budget wise, I think it's because he had those years and years and years and years of like experience directing that he could handle it like really well. I know you wanted to say something, go ahead.
I just wanted to say is like, don't watch the reboot and then go watch like two, three, TV series, because there's two different monsters. If you're going to watch the reboot, I recommend you watch the original and then the reboot.
Really? So you're saying one and then the reboot?
Yeah, one. If you're ever going to watch one and the reboot just to see. It's like, this is what this guy did starting off.
You know, you're doing it as like, show you see blah, blah. You can improve. There's hope. As a hope test.
Yeah, and then you see what he really wanted to do after he has the experience and the money to really do the dream he wanted to do. Because the other ones, it's a whole different monster. You can't watch the reboot, which is true horror. That shit's scary as fuck. And then watch Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness and just laugh at that. You're like, what am I watching?
I agree. So, I like that. I like that sentiment, definitely. So, only watch Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, and all that if you want a more comedic approach. If you want horror, really just watch the remake. This movie, like, I'm glad it exists because of what it did. But I personally feel like if I never saw it after seeing the others and everything, I don't feel like I was missing out on anything personally. But it's a staple.
And you're not, because, you know, two reboots it, and then three is a direct follow-up
to two.
Of two. The TV series is a direct follow-up of three. And
and all I'm saying is, like, personally, I'm glad it exists for the foundation it laid, but no. And with that, Oscar, that was this episode of Burnt Out Coffee. Oh, Friday episode. We have them. Thank you for watching Burnt Out Coffee. If you like what we did, give it a like. Just like press the button. Doesn't take that much of your life. And do subscribe. It's all free. It really helps the channel grow. And we really do appreciate that y'all do it. Our two questions of the day. I'll give it the first, Oscar. You come up with the second while I speak, okay? Cool. Number one, really easy, is what do you think of Evil Dead, the original? Do you think it holds up? What are your personal opinions? What worked for you? What didn't? Is it good horror? Are we wrong in saying that people shouldn't watch it? Or are you like, no, this needs to be watched to even appreciate anything else? Let us know what you feel. And Oscar, hit him with the juicy number two.
A good one is pick an older horror film, 80s, early 90s, whatever the case may be, that you kind of guiltily enjoy, that you think deserves a true horror remake, like The Evil Dead. Whether it's Hellraiser tries to be scary, but it goes in that gore thing we talked about, or like even something silly like Leprechaun. Do you want to see an actual like horror, like true serious like take on something like that? What sort of old films do we want to see like a true horror take on?
I like that. I definitely like that.
And after Evil Dead 1, I try to watch Leprechaun 4 in space, and I couldn't get past after 5 minutes.
What in space? Like, no. It kind of jipped on me.
I need my brain cells. It kind of jipped on
me. What in space?
Leprechaun 4 in space. Leprechaun.
Oh, Leprechaun. I heard Pokemon 4 in space. I was like, you went in some. What made you go Evil Dead? I need to see. Oh, Ash and Ash. I see the connection, Oscar. I see you are on.
Gotta kill them all. Gotta kill them all.
Gotta kill them all. Deadites. Gotta kill them all. I see. You're on some level 4D chess playing zone, and I'm still stuck in 3D chess. I got you. I see what you're doing. This has been Burnt Out Coffee. I am Enrico Rosado at Ryder Rosado, and with me is the fantastic chainsaw hand wheeling Oscar Fernandez at Oscar Farts. And thank you for watching this episode. If you like this podcast and you want to see more stuff, well, I have another one. We have another one. It's called Internet 24. It's an audio drama series where you get these anthology stories of space, people trapped in snowstorms with monsters, past lives, a whole bunch of stuff. Go check it out. Internet 24. If you're listening to this, you can find it on the same platform. And also, don't forget, if you're here for our Friday episodes, we have Tuesday cold brew episodes where we kind of like use the opportunity to talk about what's going on in nerd culture, talk about what's happening in comics, anime, movies, TV, really anything going on. Though, since it's October, we also give our own personal stories and take. But because it's October, we have been talking about like our own Halloween experiences and a bit of just like horror in general. We came up with a really cool idea for the last one of the year. This Tuesday episode was a extra long one too, so watch it. We give you juicy juice all the way through. And of course, if you want more stuff, I have a webcomic called Cat Trails. It is a fantasy sci-fi story that follows these two going on a never-ending trail called Cat Trails. It's fun, dope. I really enjoy working on it. And do you want more horror theme for your October? You're like, I need a little more. Well, go check out Oscar's Instagram page at Oscar Farts. That's with a Z. Go check it out. You're going to see he's been doing Inktober all the way. At the time of release, Oscar, of release, you should be on roughly 25 images. There are 25 spooky images out there to see.
I honestly can't believe I've gotten this far. No lie.
Make sure to check that out too. And with that, I forgot to mention this. If you like supporting the channel, you like going in, go check out Burnt Out Creative Patreon. You can check that up there. And also, I forgot one more thing. Not only, why should you check out the Patreon? Because we also release, like, I have currently two comics out for Comixology and Kindle. The first issue of Cat Trails, because I know Webtoon and Tapas, I will always keep posting there, but it's for the people who prefer those platforms, as well as Treat Yourself. And hopefully, if everything goes smooth, next month will come out Bitter Souls with art by Rikita Rosado. You can find that there, or you can always check Patreon, which collects everything there, collects Cash Rails, collects Internet 24 stuff, behind-the-scenes stuff. Go check it out there. And with that, Oscar, you're going to hit him with a famous catchphrase, and we're going to be outie.
Hail to the king, baby.
Hail to the king. He did not say that even once in this movie.
I know it's the other films. He
says it in the other films. Yeah, this not bold cut. Not bold cut, Ash. He would never say such a thing. Not this, Ash.
No. Oh my god. I almost lost Jordan at the beginning of the film because when the truck's almost hitting them, the girl on the camera
was
like,
"Yeah, that was so horrible, so bad." Like she was just, it was like, also was
her eyes? What's wrong with her also, eyes? Was Ash
hanging out the window at the same time because he was like all the way on the side, like, "Look out for the truck!" And I was just like, "What? This is not a near death experience. This is a..."
Like, I'll have to like Google it, but I'm pretty sure like all those people were just like in like St. Mary's theater class or something.
Come on, guys.
He's like, who wants to like beer and pizzas this weekend?
I would have been there too. I would have taken on the role. I think I would make a good Ash. I think I would have Evil Dead 1 Ash. I don't know for the rest of the Ashes, but Evil Dead 1 Ash, I could have played.
Listen, I'm the one with the unibrow here.
So you would have been Ash. I would have been Linda. I would have been like...
I would have gave you this beautiful magnifying glass.
How do you know I love Nancy Drew? Thank you. I would have made her a Southern Belle. I feel like that was a choice they could have really leaned.
This is my subtle way of saying you need glasses, bitch.
Bitch, can you see what the fuck you doing? I'm going to be like, oh, thank you, hon. Let me try to see your tiny penis. Oh, yep, I see it now.
Oh, my God. I was just about to say that joke.
You can't beat me to the punch.
Oh, this is how you see my tiny dick.
I don't know why. He said, "This is how I see my tiny dick right here, baby." And the fact that he carried it in the second film, that means Ash canonically has a tiny dick.
Don't talk about the king that way.
Hey, the king may sit on the throne, but it's not weighed heavy. Let's say that. Wow. Burnt out coffee.
Bum, ba-dum, bum. Wait, how's our theme song go?
Okay, why don't you do your part, I'll do my part, and that's how we'll end this. Go for it. Why don't we do our respective... Let's not try to switch into each other's lanes. Apparently, I thought you knew it by now, but I'm sorry.
Burnt out coffee!
Boom, 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 boom. It really shows you don't edit our intros, and it also shows you do not watch our episodes. How does the theme song go? I only heard it twice in my life. The day we recorded it and the day I sent you that video.
Sure.